Hello and welcome to LedgerCast, take two. My name's Brian Krogsgaard. I'm here with Josh Ulsewicz. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
It's going pretty well, and it's working this time. So how are you feeling, with how many? You said 3 days until the happening, right?
4 days. I just looked it up. 4 days.
You told me 3 days last time. I feel scammed.
May 11th. What's today, the 8th?
I think today is the 8th.
Okay, so it's between 11 and 12. Either way, it's within the week for sure.
Yeah. Well, how are you feeling?
Feeling good. I mean, anytime we're at five digits, historically, we just haven't been at five digits very long, ever. So, see, coming from somebody who saw Bitcoin threaten two digits, this is, it's something, definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, you saw that I mentioned a 10K pin job. You don't think it feels natural, or you do think it feels natural?
So up until March 9th, I feel like everything was natural, right? Even though you can look up, you can say April to July was plus token manipulation, fine. You can say that the G pump was more plus token manipulation on October 26th, fine. But up until May 9th, we were sort of like going on our merry way. And then all of a sudden Legacy took over. And we're just following Legacy. Like, everyone's happy we're at 10K, obviously. But in general, all we're doing is just following Legacy still. This isn't, like, unprecedented. I just wish we were a little less correlated going into one of the biggest fundamental events Bitcoin has, which is the block reward halving, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel like we've started to decorrelate at least slightly?
Based on... Or do you the 30-day rolling correlation coefficient we have. But I don't feel like we have. Like, today we had the worst jobs numbers ever, non-farm payroll. And that didn't matter, right? That didn't matter for anything.
Because yeah, I mean, the legacy market seems to be ignoring absolutely everything, which is very strange, but I don't really know. I mean, I don't have, like... a huge take on what that actually means, you know?
Yeah, so it looks like correlation coefficient with SPX is up today, the rolling 30-day. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It depends how you want to look at this. If you want to look at it, like, compare the SPX daily to the BTC daily, it just feels like we're still connected, you know? The VIX dropping down is super bullish for BTC. We beat that horse to death, but just feels,
yeah, I mean, that's probably our call of the year so far, from a tradable standpoint, was just ride Bitcoin on the downslope of the VIX, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We're on the legacy markets, if we're so attached to them. I mean, we're approaching the 200-day moving average on the S&P 500. And to me, I mean, that makes me think that there's got to be some pause for the S&P in that range. We're at 292 today. It's right at 299, the 200-day moving average. I know it's kind of a simple thing to look at, but certainly in Legacy, they pay attention to that. We've also been continuing to have descending volume the entire recovery. And it seems to me like we just want to go up and tag that thing, hit 3,000 or, 3K on the SPX, and that could mark, you know, the retrace. I don't know what the fib on that is. Do you?
No, I'd have to fib it out.
But I imagine it correlates to a 0.618 retrace or something along those lines. And I guess if we're going to do this correlation, then maybe that's the type of thing that we should keep an eye on, is where is the legacy market relative to Bitcoin?
Like, if it doesn't stop at the daily 200, does it just go to all-time high?
Yeah.
Like yeah, nothing matters, right? This is all, it's all fugazi. Nothing matters. Unemployment doesn't matter. The fact that we still have no pandemic response that's adequate to reopen most of the country doesn't matter.
Yeah. We're actually at the, we're at the 0.618 here from top to bottom. If you, you know, like wick to wick right here around 292, 293. So, that 200 day is kind of in no man's land, but it's also a beautiful, I mean, it's a beautiful horizontal level. It's right where we had two tops in 2019 before we broke out and that blow off top. So it seems like a perfect retest area to me, like somewhere between here and, I don't know, maybe 305, like for an overthrow. I have a hard time imagining we'd go more than that because, like you said, what do we even get if we do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we barely death crossed on the SPX. That's a 2 day. Okay, so yeah, we definitely death crossed, but like it's setting up to re bull cross, golden cross, leading into this. It just it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm
defies logic, you know.
It sounds like maybe we're in disbelief.
I'm not shorting. Like that's the thing. Like you just can't short legacy. You can't be a Davy day trader and think you know more than everything and pretend.
Is he still losing millions? Because I stopped paying attention to him.
Yeah, so did I. But people who don't trade, who view it as entertainment, send me this stuff, and I just get so upset because it's like I don't care that this guy's losing money, but he shouldn't be losing money because it's so the way he's doing it is just so stupid. You know, that's the part that bugs me. But yeah, you just have to follow the trend, right? Like if the trend is 200% from the bottom with no signs of stopping, for crypto, like what do? You can't short that, right?
No, that's the same kind of boat we've been talking about. It's like, we're nearing what I've identified on a couple of recent videos as if we get a weekly close above that high that you're showing right now, then I think we're just going to go target that next previous high, the 12.5 weekly high or whatever that weekly close was previous. But you know, above 10.2 on this current weekly, which is obviously within and we could be at 10.2 in any moment, 100 bucks or 200 bucks is nothing, get a weekly close over that in the next couple of days, and then it's really bullish for pushing ahead. Now we could get some kind of swing failure or whatever people want to call it, you know, like temporary burst above and then fail down, and that would be a really nice sign that we'll have a more sustained drawdown to some mean reversion or retracement. I could totally believe that we dump on the halving. You know, we keep pumping. I don't even know what do you get, $1,000, $500, $2,000 for a halving hype, and then fade that. I could believe that.
Yeah, I mean, if we keep going, it's 10.6. If we break 10.6, it's 13. Like, there's really nothing else. There's really nothing else up here. So it feels like the halving will be a sell the news event. What is it? May 11th, let's say.
It's just, I know you don't like this. I know you don't like this diagonal, but there is this, you know, that forever diagonal off of the tips at December 17, June 2019. That would put us around 10.7, so right around that same spot, just above the weekly. So if we break up from there, like I mean, I really think I don't think we'll stop at. Actually, that previous weekly close was only 11.6. So even though we got to almost 13.9, 14, almost 14K, the weekly close was only at 11.6. So I don't think we stop at 11.6 if we break a new high, break a diagonal. I don't think we stop at 11.6. That's only another $1,000, you know?
It's only another $1,000. Yeah, I mean, I don't, if this doesn't stop soon, it just doesn't stop, right? Like, why would it?
Yeah, we'll consolidate somewhere higher. You know, like we'll go to 14, 15, 16K. And,
but we keep melting up every consolidation. Like we consolidated for a few days, in late April, melted up, consolidated for a few days over the past week, melted up again. Volume looks good. I'm not complaining. It's just like, you know, it's eventually the bears are going to come home to roost, and you know, this will have a 30 to 50% pullback like it loves to have.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of Bitcoin's favorite things to do.
So I like 8.1, I like 6.4, I like, you know, any of this, basically. You know, down day legacy would be good as well to seal the deal for crypto.
Which moving average is that, the red one?
The 200 EMA.
Okay. On the daily.
Yeah. I don't think we see 6.4 anytime soon. But it wouldn't surprise me. I think 8.1 is definitely in the cards, but I don't think 6.1 or 6.4 is in the cards.
You've got pivots up on your chart. What's that R1?
13. That's why I said 13.
And then the R2's
18, 19.
Ooh.
Basically.
That's juicy. That's a juicy tap. Like, I mean, if I imagine that we'll have some pullback for sure. If we don't get a massive one, though, I definitely feel like that kind of previous all-time high tap is very much in the cards for this year, which, for what it's worth, I think our kind of range that we discussed at the beginning of the year predictions is playing out pretty nicely so far.
That's a 1200, my bad. Change that. I was like, why is that so low? It didn't make any sense to me. So the 200, the 50, the yearly pivot, it's all at 8.1. I really like 8.1 in the near term. After having, we could go to 33, we can go to 50, you know, whatever. It's just, you don't go 150% from a bottom and then not have some pullback, some crazy Bitstamp hack, you know, some event, right? There's always something.
Yeah.
Always.
And I mean, 8.1 from here, that's a $2,000 move off our current local like wick top. So that would be a fierce move down. It would be a perfect retest of the 20-week moving average as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to happen in one candle. Or it happens in one candle and it's a wick, like this Bitstamp thing. You know, the Binance, I'm just comparing this to April. Looking at the Binance hack, that was like barely a blip, right? That was down. Was that up here or was it down here? I can't remember now. Maybe it was this up here. This was Bitstamp on May 17. And I think Binance might have been June 3rd.
Yeah, that looks right.
When they were threatening a rollback or some garbage like that. But there's always going to be some event. That's going to be.
They were going to do a reorg of the Bitcoin chain.
A reorg, that's what they threatened. Yeah. So there'll be some event that is the catalyst for a pullback. You know, I think it'll happen post-halving. I don't think we're going to do anything in the near term. But
I mean, there's not really enough time to do too much pullback in the near term.
No, I mean, I can literally hash imagine rates at all-time high. Daily active addresses broke 1 million for like the fifth time ever in the history of Bitcoin's history. Miners are selling less and less. Futures premium is way down. It's basically zero, which says there's a way, way to go as far as bullishness.
Stablecoin printing bullish.
Just doesn't stop.
I mean, this just seems like the move that everybody missed, which you and I have talked about like for weeks now. We're like, I don't want to be margin long. I don't want to be margin long. I don't want to be margin long. And then it's like up, 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 up. We have not had a down week candle since we melted below 4K. So we've gone from a weekly close of like 5K after that sub 4K meltdown up to 10K without a weekly red candle. That's insane. That's like truly insane.
Yeah, we're going on 9 weeks of green candles.
I mean, even the S&P 500 had two red weeks and one barely green week in that time. The recovery for Bitcoin has been significantly more severe positively than Legacy, and people are freaking out about the Legacy recovery.
Yeah, well, you know, Bitcoin, you expect this sort of thing. You expect the volatility.
It's the kind of stuff that Bitcoin loves to do.
The panic, you expect the euphoria. It's just so bipolar so quickly, right? Like, it dumps everything in like 3 days and then retraces it all over the next 3 months, right?
Yeah, in Legacy, the closest thing that I see is the NASDAQ anyway. Like, it is basically looking like it's magneting itself to an all-time high test. Looks really strong, relative to the rest of the market. So it's not like people are targeting value or anything there. They're just going for the reliable companies. And, you know, there's those stats that people keep talking about, how top five companies are like 50% of the S&P 500. So any lag in the S&P 500, we're seeing basically from the rest of the companies, because the Amazons and Apples and whatnot are still doing okay. We're seeing similar in the crypto landscape too, because outside of some random stuff, like we've seen ZRX go crazy. But for the most part, Bitcoin's doing its thing, and altcoins on the BTC relative pairs have really bled off the past few days.
Yeah, some of these alts look they're on life support.
Really bad.
As far as literal support on the chart is concerned, it's really not much. Not much else. Yeah, some of these can, you know, they just go straight down to all-time lows or below that. EOS, LTC.
I talked about the LTC hedge short, and I should have taken it. I just was too lazy, to be honest. But it's melted off really nicely. XRP printed a fresh low. What was that other one that you mentioned?
EOS.
EOS, yeah. I mean, these are just absolutely filthy.
Savage. Savage. Savage.
But I mean, even XRP is closer to an entry, really.
Really, this has just been a BTC-led rally so far.
Yeah. I mean, Ethereum's not printing a low that goes back 9 months like XRP is doing right now. Yeah, I'm looking at this XRP break.
It's not as dire as some of these alts for sure.
Yeah, if I can get a retest on XRP of 2400, that's a perfect entry on a long term fail. And I hate XRP. I want to short the crap out of this. Why not? You know, it's still very enterable if it gives you a retest.
So we'll get back to this, but one last thing for BTC on the macro side, like there's an inverted head and shoulders possibility still, again, another macro one, with March 12th being the head and then the right shoulder, we've yet to put it in, going down to 8.1 or thereabouts, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that would be an interesting one. From a volume profile standpoint, do you think it matters that the head is so severe from when we made that move?
I mean, the volume won't match no matter what happens, so that's out the window. Like, none of this is going to be perfect, but it's a possibility. If we get denied at 10.5 and we retrace to 8.1 or lower over the next 2 months, I don't know. But if we don't stop at 10.6, then it just doesn't stop, really. Like, look at all these previous days, though, above 10.6. It's really just been...
Not many.
I mean, I don't know how
just the state of disbelief in 2017 and again in 2019. I mean, in both scenarios, everyone was like, this is too much, too fast, too hard. And this time, we're prepared. You know, it's like, we're like, okay, whatever, 10K, we're ready for that. We can handle it.
It's less than a year, less than 365 days. It's probably around 200 days above 10.6. But it's, I don't know, you were talking about wall of worry last time.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that now.
Yeah.
Because it's okay, I want to get into position, right? I want a decent sized leverage position. I'm not going to chase this above 10.6. So it's just going to moon without me, and I'll have my spot, whatever. So
I feel like I don't even know how long I've been that way, but I've felt that way for a while. I feel like I really missed an opportunity because I've been bullish the entire time, but I just didn't see an entry. So it's fine. Like, you know, the overall dollar value is up, but holy crap, I probably missed my best trade in years by not adding margin to this.
Yeah, it's just hard to... I guess it's hard for me as a high time frame trend trader to flip from ultra bear to ultra bull like overnight, which is basically what happened.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're either like scalping low time frames or you have a low time frame thing, or you're just like, you know, it's not going any lower than 4K, right? Hopefully. Or yeah, it's not going any lower than 6, which is what some people did on their leverage position.
I was, let me go back to my view on this, but I was ultra bullish in mid-March, and I did play it on margin for a bit, but I think I was out before 6,400, before like, which we tapped several days in a row. And my problem was I just didn't get back in once it kind of reconfirmed it, because from a pattern perspective, it was trash. So I've therefore like kept spot exposure, but totally missed the boat since. Looking back, though, where I really missed the entry potential was April 23rd after three taps into like 7,200-ish, which we talked about as important area back then. Then it just blasted up. And I think I didn't take that trade because we were so close to the 200-day, but we melted through the 200-day. So, yeah, I mean, that was another – there's two trades in there that I felt like were pretty – like quite tradable. The break off the lows – from, you know, like 5K up to 6,400. And then again, from like 7,200, really to now, based on playing low time frames, because there's been no drawdown since then. You know, there's no real time where it was like, oh yeah, you're get out of this trade. Maybe 8,500 the first time we spiked up, you know, 9,500 to 8,400 in one day. But then you could have gotten back in depending on your aggression on the mid time frame breakup. So like there were trades to be made. I just didn't make them.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't retested the 200. We haven't retested the early pivot. We haven't even golden crossed on the 50 and the 200 yet. Now you can look at all this stuff together and say, well, in April, the same exact thing happened. We didn't even retest the 50 in April, like just straight up, you know, but at retested least then
for suckers.
I felt more prepared than I am now, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know quite why. I think maybe just because the breaks to new highs were a little cleaner. Like we spent a little time, even though it wasn't great patterns and it wasn't great drawdowns, but it was at least some kind of sideways consolidation before making that next high.
Well, we had the ascending triangle, right? Like there was the edge to edge on the daily, like that projected the move to 5.5 or whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm talking about those next two legs though, like after we got off the lows. Those were at least, they were ugly consolidations, but they were some kind of consolidation where once you make the new high, you can hop in on that trade. And this time around, it's just kind of been this stair step up, no real pattern, no real nothing, no like just up.
Well, I told myself when it broke 7,200 that I need to be watching the 4-hour cloud, because the 4-hour cloud typically is like low time frame enough that it'll give you your entries.
Yeah, you're trending like this. You get that. Did we quite hit that 4-hour? You talked about it last week, and I was looking at that level too. Yeah, you're on your chart there. Didn't quite hit the 4-hour Kijun, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, but even then, it's like you miss. I don't know. I mean,
you gotta have the guts.
I'm disappointed in myself that I'm not catching this on leverage. But at the same time, it's like I was buying spot. I'm okay. So it's not the end of the world. But
yeah, we got our tiny violins out. I'm not making enough money.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. There's that side of the argument, but then there's the other side where it's like, if you're not making money on leverage here now, what are you doing here? That's the other voice in my head, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that's a really fair voice. I think that's just the way we beat ourselves up when we feel like we didn't take enough advantage. I think if you're you know, maintaining your relative Bitcoin value while Bitcoin's going up. Maybe you're increasing that every now and then, and you're doing pretty well there. You know, it's nice if while Bitcoin's going up, you can increase your Bitcoin through margin or altcoin trades, whatever. But maintaining your Bitcoin value while Bitcoin's trending this strongly is also an accomplishment of its own right, because you could spend a lot of time hedging out, you know, and then missing that 1 10% day. Well, that's a heck of a lot of money with $10,000 Bitcoin, you know? So if you spend too much time hedging out, trying to protect yourself, like, there's some fortitude that's required to hodl, as the maximalists would say.
Well, of course, but like, that's the default mode. The default mode is hodl. The reason why we're all here is the trading mode, right?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, there's you know, people want to take advantage of the downside too, and you can chop yourself up doing that if you're trying to fade a strong move like this over and over again. I guess if my point is, in this scenario, that's my one thing that I am happy about, that I just sat on my hands and I didn't like hedge out or take some off the table too soon or anything like that. But my question is now, is going into the halving, a thing that we could totally fade the, you know, fade the, sell the news type of event. We're at resistance. There's a lot of potential failure setups. So I want to think to myself, and I haven't thought through this trade plan yet, but how will I decide I want to take some off the table? Because part of me just wants to not, like, I'm going to be really upset if this thing just, it's like, oh yeah, we just did the halving and look, no hash rate came off, and it's like, boom, $3,000 higher. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's probably the least probable, is no hash rate coming off. I expect hash rate to even come off over the next 2 days in preparation for that. If it doesn't, then there's some secret ASIC that's been mining that we're not aware of.
That's the kind of drama I'm here for.
It doesn't make sense, you know? Like, it doesn't make sense that the miners that exist in the current state of the network are going to be equally profitable post-halving. That's just not how it works. So, yeah, I'd expect... Yeah. So in the future, like over the next few, like 2 weeks, I'd say, I'm looking for a pullback at between 2 and 2.6. I'm looking for a daily bear div, which we don't even have yet. I'm looking for a move to 7.1 to 8.1, somewhere in there. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'd be really interested in that move for... seeking some kind of consolidation into that and some kind of bottomy formation so that I could get long again, because that's what I want. However, so you talked about the futures open interest and the lack of general premium in futures, meaning there's probably a lot of cash on the sidelines right now. So like everybody in the world wants those types of moves, which leads me to believe if we get a drawdown, it'll probably be fast and not last very long, and may not get as low as we hope. Gets me back to why that 8K, 8.1 type of range looks good.
There's like competing evidence for both sides, because if you look at the CME stuff, like that's close to like all-time high notional, all-time high in open interest contracts-wise.
Oh, so CME is interested then.
Sorry, what?
So CME's got the high open interest right now.
Yeah, CME is high. BitMEX is not high right now, historically.
That might just be BitMEX.
Deribit is high. I mean, I think it's a total of a billion, I think is what Skew said. A billion open interest across the options right now.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of open interest. It's just not necessarily on BitMEX. It's more so on Deribit and CME.
Yeah. Horizontally, I just really like this 8K level, and then it aligns with the 200-day and the 20-day. It's just a nice retest area for me. And I could totally imagine us doing it in like 2, maybe 3 days, like a really quick drop-off, punish late longs, punish happening longs, etc.
So, yeah, so there's that weirdness like with open interest that's not on BitMEX. The futures premium, which is non-existent, really. ETH, it's almost zeroed out completely. BTC, it's $30 on the quarterly. I don't know when the quarterly rollover is. It might be soon. I should look that up. Because that could be the
interesting.
That could be the one thing preventing the futures premium is the expiration of the quarterly is probably around the corner.
Yeah, that's interesting. If you want to look that up, I want to talk a little bit. We got a question from the chat. Justin Bisacki. Sorry, Justin, if I pronounced your name wrong. He brought up the Paul Tudor Jones news. So Paul Tudor Jones, rich billionaire that came out with a bullish Bitcoin argument. And Justin asked, he's known for buying and selling 200-day moving average breakouts. So do you think he bought the break of the 200 or dumping his position and talking about his bullishness with it? I don't. That doesn't sound like the type of ethics that someone in his position would do when you go on public record and then you're dumping your position. Doesn't make sense to me. But I would believe maybe that he bought the 200-day breakout. So was probably interested in Bitcoin as an asset, bought 8K or something. Maybe he was the 8K purchase.
I mean, he definitely didn't buy the day he announced it, right?
No, of course not.
So anybody who thinks that needs to reassess the evidence. I don't know. I mean, it's great. I'm not like jumping for joy, right? It's the more people, it's a big tent, crypto. So the more people who are in for any reason at all, the network doesn't care. I don't care. Why should you care, right?
Yeah.
It's just good to see the evidence and the hypothesis put forward by PTJ is much the same thing that we've been saying for years, ever since most of us got into crypto. You know, it's disinflationary. It's has a total circulating supply. It's digital. There's no, I'm blanking on the word. There's no censorship, that sort of stuff. All this stuff. Like, that's why we're all here, right?
He made the clear Bitcoiner argument. Like, it was coherent, clear, and he's well known.
Yeah.
So it says the Tudor BVI fund may hold as much as low single-digit percentage of its assets in Bitcoin futures. So 2-4% of their portfolio potentially in Bitcoin, which a lot of Bitcoiners and you know, like Eric Voorhees from Shapeshift, I think has promoted this for years, was like, even if you do 1-2% of your overall exposure in Bitcoin, based on the way it's had its returns, you're risking very little as a relative percentage of your portfolio. But it's even if you kept the rest in cash, it's like your relative gains to the S&P 500 outpaced and you have almost nothing. It's almost like a long call on volatility, you know?
Yeah, these aren't people buying spot on Bitstamp, right? These are people on CME. These are people on GBTC. They aren't custodying their own coins, none of that stuff, most likely, you know, that I'm aware of anyway. So that's another reason not to get like super excited, because it's all just like futures hedging or GBTC, which they have underlying BTC, but it's not directly, you know, the consumer doesn't touch it.
I think what else is interesting about this Bloomberg article about Jones is that he estimates that $3.9 trillion of money, the equivalent of 6.6% of global economic output, has been printed since February. You know, we've talked about the print potential, but I imagine that he put significantly more and better math into kind of the exacts of where that money comes from, how it pulls versus just adding up funds that are in bills or whatever and tossing it out there. So $4 trillion almost in money printing since February. I didn't realize that was 6.6% of global economic output, but that is, wow, that's a lot. That's a high percentage when you're talking about global economic output.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, money doesn't grow on trees, right? There's no such thing as a free lunch, right?
Yeah,
it's always going to be a cost.
I'm not a hard money nor a crypto nut. The most compelling argument for owning Bitcoin is the coming digitization of currency everywhere, accelerated by COVID-19. Throw away the financial playbook of the past decade and return to the monetarist theories of Milton Friedman and old school indicators such as the M2 money supply.
Yeah. Preach, PTJ. But this is nothing, like anybody who's been here for any amount of time, like all his arguments, nothing new, right? It's just hearing it from the voice, right? It's like if Buffett right. came out and said he never will, but stuff like that, you know.
Right.
Not that PTJ is somebody who should be idolized by any stretch of the imagination as far as his...
No, but there's, you know, he... But. It's another person that's respected in the ecosystem who's putting their weight behind something that not very many people were willing to take seriously just a couple years ago.
It's it'll be used in the no coiner conversion therapy, you know?
Yeah. All right. So we've talked about the you know, fundamental bullishness potential for Bitcoin here, going into the halving, probably some altcoin capitulation, whether it's starting capitulation or ending capitulation, I don't really know. You know, I look at something like Ethereum, good God, like this daily, from where I was watching it, I was really interested in it, 0.025, thinking it might make a leg up. When it broke down, that was just the get out of here notion. And I didn't have exposure for a while. I do now, for what it's worth. It went down 15% plus relative to the Bitcoin pair. So it basically has not gone up relative to the dollar. Relative to the dollar, you know, Ethereum has just been consolidating for several days while Bitcoin has been pushing up. So it's like, it looks pretty good versus the dollar and looks like absolute crap relative to Bitcoin.
But you'd expect that leading into a fundamental event, right? Like nothing's going on with Ethereum.
Yeah. So that makes me wonder, are we going to have flows into these large cap altcoins to try to recover as the halving calms down, you know, or is that money going to stay in the ecosystem, or are people going to flee to tethers or whatever else? And, you know, alts die when Bitcoin goes up, alts die when Bitcoin goes down.
Yes. Yeah. I think everything's going to dump. Alts are going to dump harder. And then alts might retrace more than BTC after halving, like in the near term, not over the next 6 months, but in the near term, I think. Because then that sets up ETH for its ETH 2.0 shenanigans in July or sometime this year, as far as outperforming BTC, at least the potential to outperform BTC.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I run into with Ethereum. I started getting back in around, I don't know, between 0.021 and 0.022, something like that. I'm really hoping for a weekly save on the 20 week, which doesn't react too perfectly, but it trends pretty well with it above or below. It's below it right now though. So that's, for me, I'm watching the weekly close on Ethereum, and if I have to take an L on it, then I will. But the fact that it just lost the 200-day moving average, that's the other, like the 20-week and 200-day being in sync, still making a higher low technically. All things we talked about last week, except for, you know, several percent further down. So I took another stab at it. But I say I took another stab at it. It's on a lifeline here. Like, it doesn't look good.
But what are you buying? Are you buying spot or are you buying?
Yeah. I'm just buying spot.
Yeah. I mean,
but I'm not just going to hold on to it. You know, like, if, I mean, this thing could make a new low between below 0.02 and off it goes. Got a lot of distance down there that it could cover. If it made brand new lows, that's 20% more relative to BTC, which would be just filthy.
I think it's fine. I expect it to underperform in the near term and potentially overperform Q3, that sort of thing.
Could you see?
I don't see it. I don't see new lows in the near term. Definitely not. As far as below 0.02, I don't see that.
So you think essentially the Adam and Eve and high volume node that you have there would hold?
I think so. Like, it's the trend looks not great. Way worse than it did last week, but I think it's fine overall. I don't know. I'm not really concerned. Like, if I'm expecting 750 over the next 18 months, potentially, why would I care of what's going on right now? You know, like, obviously you want to make the most money you can, but I don't know.
And yet you look over at, you know, something like XRP and it's just absolutely disgusting. Do you think we're seeing some separation? So, like, not all altcoins act the same all the time?
Definitely. I mean, what does LTC have going on? What does XRP have going on? You can't even stake this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think Ethereum's kind of in the middle. But, yeah, we're definitely seeing LTC, XRP, several others that are – they're making new lows, brand new, huge breakdown type of moves. Peter Brandt probably has a measured move to zero on those patterns. But you compare it to, you know, Tezos, Link, some of the ones that have been trending really hard for quite some time. And it's like two entirely different ecosystems. Even though those are drawing down right now too, they're way, way higher and healthier from a trend basis. And then Ethereum's, you know, somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting because you can't – there was a time not too long ago where it was like one alt or any alt, all alts, it's all the same. That has certainly not been the case the past several months in the long run. Like, maybe on a day, like, one's down 0.5%, one's down 2%, but it's like that adds up a lot. The one that's down 2% or 3% on the bad days is over time – severely underperforming the rest of the altcoin market.
Yeah, I agree. If it doesn't have a compelling use case, which 99% of this stuff doesn't, if it doesn't have staking, which is a garbage use case anyway, but it beats out the stuff that doesn't have staking, you know? So XRP, XLM, Jed McCaleb selling XRP ad nauseum. I think it's doomed even from a legal perspective in court. Like, it might be doomed. I don't know. I'm super bearish on XRP. I'm not looking to short it to zero, but I'm not looking to buy it ever for any reason. And then that's not even talking about like BCH or BSV. Who knows what that stuff's going to do? LTC is a big pile of nothing as well, right? Like, LTC probably has the least use case of anything.
My long idea for BNB failed. I stopped out of it. Stayed true to my plan on that one, thankfully, because the last week... 2 weeks been terrible. But it looks like it's wanting to make a new weekly low here too. I mean, and BNB has a use case. It may not be a coin that, like, you know, or some extreme favor of, but it does have a use case on the exchange token side.
Yeah, I think BNB is fine. If crypto's doing well, BNB should do fine. Like, it's not going to go to zero. BNB is going to be okay. Like, over LTC, I'd buy BNB any day. Like, it has a legitimate use case, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But even, like, I like XMR because nothing does what it does as well as it does. And its inflation is, like, sub 4% at this point.
And Doge continues to be sideways. And
Doge, which is, from a USD point of value, is fine. You know, like, if it's holding...
Even on a BTC value, it's not... It's just perfectly within its range. It's on the lower bound of it, but it's not breaking lows like a lot of these are.
Right. And if it's holding 26, 27, 28 sats, the USD value is increasing, actually, as BTC goes up.
Yeah.
And BTC value is unchanged. So that's a win in my book.
Doge is the safest altcoin in the world.
It's pretty safe when it's... When it's at lows, for sure. Someone is asking about, in the chat, about the halving. Anthony's asking, don't current macro situations make you question repeating the same price action from last halving? What do you think? Should we be more bullish than we are?
More bullish or less? I mean, I don't know which direction he's asking, more bullish or less bullish, because fundamentally I'm more bullish in the long term, for all the same reasons that Paul Tudor Jones mentioned there. I still think we're in a down market. I think this is a huge bear market rally in legacy. I don't think we'll go to all-time highs. If we do, it's just because it's a scam. I think the economy is in the shitter. And I don't think that that's a good thing for Bitcoin, but it may not matter. Maybe a temporary downside type of thing, kind of like what we have talked about several times. So I think dips are for buying. I don't really know what else to say beyond that. I think the mining stuff will figure its way out, and people will continue to mine Bitcoin just like last time.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think I'm the least concerned I've ever been regarding the future of crypto, specifically Bitcoin. Like, I couldn't be more. Somebody used the word excited on Twitter the other day, and I agree. Like we talked about last week and the week before, if crypto's going to shine, it's now, you know?
Definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, you can't be bearish, right? We almost went to zero and didn't.
You cannot be bearish.
How can you be bearish, right? Like, you just can't be.
You mean fundamentally?
Fundamentally. Like, we defeated SegWit 2x. We defeated Roger Ver, defeated Jihan, defeated, like, you just go down the list.
Has anybody lost relevance more than Roger Ver?
Sorry, say that again?
Has anyone lost relevance more than Roger Ver?
I don't know. Maybe Eric Voorhees. Like, no. Maybe Charlie Shrem. I don't know. I feel bad for these early guys who I looked up to.
I think Eric still has relevance and also general regard in the ecosystem, personally. I mean, I think his business took a major hit because of KYC stuff versus what people liked to use it for. But I think that's different than Roger Ver, like, just turning his back on everything.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so we defeated all that, and now we have these macro headwinds that are super bullish for crypto. So I'm bullish. I agree. Dips are for buying. Looking for a dip. Anything I can get it. My chips are ready. Bag is open.
Let's talk more about some of the open interest stuff. You mentioned Skew, and I'd love to know, have you looked at what's positioning in the world? I haven't looked at options in a while, which was really my way to play upside that I should have played, and in hindsight, didn't think about it all. What thoughts do you have there?
So it's either people hedging or it's people leveraging up on long here who are going to get run over when we retrace. So this is the options open interest. Deribit leading the world. But we've hit that magic 1 billion mark. Like, if we hit 1 billion in open interest on BitMEX, that was the top historically. I don't know what to say. Like, in the halving, I just want to get it over with already, you know? Because we'll know a lot more after that. Who was hedging, who wasn't hedging, which miners are going to be unprofitable, that sort of thing.
Yeah. What's the...
Because if you're a miner and you're levered up...
That's $1 billion of options open interest, not futures open interest.
Right. I'd have to check what futures are right now, but...
That's amazing.
I'll bring it up.
And it seems like May 7th, Thursday, yesterday, was one of the big days for expiring open interest.
On options?
Yeah.
And nothing really.
Wonder if that had anything really happened, to do with right? That 10K pin. Who sold some puts?
Somebody was talking about the put call stuff as well. The put call ratio, that's your boat over mine.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on some overall stuff, like you mentioned, whether somebody could be heavy on puts because they're hedging more of their spot positioning, but they could also be heavy on puts because they're, speculatively looking for downside. So kind of depends. But I mean, generally, if you see super high put call ratios, if it's also like really high open interest, it might be the type of thing you could fade, you know, like heavy side of the boat. But I think if the overall open interest is relatively low, but the ratio is there, then maybe it's the type of thing that I wouldn't really want to get on the wrong side of that. You know, like maybe somebody is preparing for stuff that I'm not ready for, especially since retail's not like super into crypto options yet. It's mostly people that are producers, you know, miners or heavier hitters.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's just, I don't know. There's no clear solidified picture around what's going on right now, which is why I think after having a lot of these variables are just going to fall by the wayside and resolve themselves. And it's going to be a lot more obvious, you know, what's going on.
What do you think about the fact that Deribit still has such a demanding control of the options and open interest?
I mean, good for them, I guess, right? I don't know. I don't trade there, so I don't have much to say about it. I mean, everybody's trying to eat their lunch: Binance, OKX, FTX, probably Bitfinex eventually. I don't think they have anything now, but if they didn't have something in the works, that'd be silly, right?
Yeah, I think what's interesting as well is got open interest by Strike here on this bottom chart that I'm looking at. And there's a lot of open interest at right at this 10K zone that we're in now. So that's by pinning 10K, that's very beneficial for the sellers of those options. And you have to go way down to 7K. To find the next kind of high point on that open interest. And there's not a ton above. So just from an open interest perspective, there's not like an outlandish amount of open interest above 10K. It's a lot more concentrated below 10K. That would also inspire me to think that there's some potential for staying a bit higher, making those positions fade out on the bottom side.
Yeah, that would make sense. It just depends on, like, again, it's like having is the event that everybody is expecting. So are these positions going to just dissolve once having is over, you know?
So will open interest just go down in general as having?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. What other news is out there?
Well, Japan, speaking of Deribit, Japan keeps closing the borders as far as where they allow people to trade. Deribit kicked off Japan. BitMEX kicked off Japan. Japan historically is a really massive retail trading market. It's also the country that like China VPNs through if they're going to VPN through something for trading usually. So.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's interesting. We'll see how that affects open interest over the long term. Kelly LaFleur continually gets into more and more hot water regarding backroom deals or side things that she's getting from that are beneficial. So we'll see if she's a senator for much longer. But
I think she's losing her primary right now. So the Block Crypto has this article about crypto exchange volumes being down. Larry Cermak, tall Larry Lama.
I keep telling Larry, every time he brings a volume, he's like, oh, he loves to shit all over BitMEX, which is whatever. That's fine. I don't care. Do whatever you're going to do. But like, if you're going to present an argument, at least know what you're saying. Because he's always like, somebody's eating BitMEX's lunch because traffic is up on Binance. Like, that's not how that works, Larry. All this stuff is fake anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But go ahead, sorry.
No, it's fine. I definitely get fired up about the Alexa traffic and stuff. Those things are like super non-scientific anyway. And yeah, that definitely drives me crazy. But still, I mean, volumes being down, I always have a hard time knowing if I should care about this because it's, you know, it's like a pattern thing sometimes just on the chart. It's natural for the volume to be declining as something consolidates. But I still think it's interesting that volumes are down into the halving where you would hope that people are more interested. But maybe people don't know or don't care until the price proves it. And it doesn't seem like a push into 10K is what's necessary to prove it.
I mean, we just had...
The public demands more. Are we even on CNBC?
We're on CNBC. But we just had a massive... like. The volume we just had, I don't even know where I can pull this up. Maybe on the Breed New Coin thing. But we just had like one of the highest volume days in the history of Bitcoin on March 12th across the board. And people are already saying like volume is down. Of course volume is down. A lot of people got wiped out completely on March 12th. So it's going to take time. It's not even been 2 months for volume to come back. But even still, the volume over the past month has been pretty good, especially looking at these highs. If I can find a chart that has BTC on it. Volume is fine. Like, I don't know. I'm just getting triggered by Larry's stupidity, I guess. But
come at us, Larry.
Look at this weekly volume. It's higher than it has been most of the year, most of the previous year. So... yes, it might be down, but I don't know.
Down relative to when it lost more than half its value in 24 hours?
Right. Exactly. I don't know.
Hey, you know what doesn't have volume down right now? ZRX, baby. And screw me, right?
Well, somebody, I didn't know why ZRX pumped, but somebody said it was part of the Palm Beach shenanigans.
Oh, is that why? That makes me feel better. I didn't miss something.
Yeah, it's up, what, 100% a day? I don't know, what is it?
It went up, I don't know, 30 to 40% 2 days in a row. So yeah, it's almost doubled. And I sold mine on May 2nd after being in. I'm looking at the weekly chart here, just weeks of crap sideways. And I finally got out, especially, I think it was when it was rejecting off the 20-week again. And I was like, all right, screw it. Peaced out. And then... just mega Chad candle. Although, funny enough, on the weekly, it looks, I mean, it doesn't look pedestrian, but kind of pedestrian, like totally within reason to go up 80% in 1 week.
I mean, the weekly looks like Stellar in that Adam and Eve territory now.
Yeah. But boy, I'm feeling sad. I missed it. And I mean, how can you even guess that, this two-day
you can't.
Type of crap?
That's why you just have to buy an alt and sit in it. You know, you have to have yeah. conviction.
That hurts my nature. Do you think this is a sign of more to come?
Well,
general interest in altcoins?
I saw BAT spike today too, didn't it?
Oh, that shouldn't surprise us, though. It's like they're married, ZRX and BAT, early Coinbase listings around the same time. I feel like they have a little bit of a XRP, XLM situation going on.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. What was your question?
Does it give you hope for other alts?
I mean, not really. If anything, it's like I'm hoping for a rotation thing later on, not necessarily in the near future, but
yeah.
Stuff we had talked about early on where BTC would chill out and then there'd be some rotation into alts.
When I look at Tezos, it looks like it's got more downside to me. Like, it's trying to make a higher low, but I don't see it happening.
Tezos BTC?
Yeah, I feel like some of these just gotta take some more time for themselves. I don't love it.
It was a big ad.
Maybe it'll make some gigantic triangle, and I would be willing to wait for it. Like, I don't have any... I'm in no rush on a chart like this.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless it like spikes hard, capitulates down to the 200. If it does that really fast, maybe I'd be interested. But not so much in the current setup.
Yeah,
and I think Link's pretty similar.
Again, like, there's no fundamental, there's no like 4-year fundamental event happening for these altcoins. It's happening for BTC. It's BTC's moment right now, you know?
It's Bitcoin's moment. Quit talking about altcoins.
No, I'm just saying, like, yes.
We're getting questions about altcoins in the chat. So.
Of course, alts are getting slaughtered. Like,
you know? It's their natural state of being.
That's what happens when Bitcoin halving happens, right? Like, if Bitcoin halving wasn't bullish, then this whole system just collapsed because.
Yeah, then we're in trouble.
Then we're just, you know, why are we even here?
And on that front, to follow up on something we've talked about, the dominance chart, where it was, you know, it had a perfect tap on the 200. We were coming up on it again. You and I were talking about, you know, that's where it has a chance, but it could be an Adam and Eve. Well, it blew through that 200, blew through the prior high. And I mean, the Bitcoin dominance looks really good, which is really bad for the vast majority of altcoins. So I feel like you are trying to pick the diamond in the rough here if you're speculating significantly on altcoins. I mean, this dominance chart looks great. Looks like, you know, maybe give it a retest, but I would watch out.
I wouldn't.
That's not a good thing for altcoins, the way that I look at this chart.
I agree. I wouldn't be leveraging a long on any BTC pair right now.
Yeah. And I realize that's significantly different. We just talked about like which alts to buy or something like that, but it's because the risk reward was much better, right? Like, you're going into resistance, so you could look for opportunities. Well, now Bitcoin is kind of declaring its dominance and let it do its thing, you know?
Yeah. And someone was asking about Stellar. I keep looking at this 2-day cloud on Stellar USD. It's got its first breakout since 2018 on the cloud. So to me, that looks really good.
Wow.
It may need...
Yeah, so there's some stuff out there. It's kind of crazy to me that it's Stellar that looks good. XLM, of all things.
Hey, man.
What's going on with that sucker, other than Jed McCaleb's not selling billions of it?
Boom.
That's it? That's why it's outperforming XRP?
I think so. So you may get this, like... What is this? Another 8 months of shenanigans on Ripple, but
oy. Man,
like this inverted head and shoulder multi shoulder thing. I don't know, but
oh, that would be brutal, though.
I'm not worried about it at all.
No rush.
The Wyckoff accumulation on the BTC pair looks bad, but
I think what I have a hard time believing is, you know, I can see this continued narrative for Bitcoin, and if we go to $20,000 Bitcoin, it's like, fine, whatever, that sounds good. I can believe it. But if you keep even the current BTC relative prices, the USD prices indicated by $20,000 Bitcoin for these altcoins makes them like supremely inflated versus what they've actually delivered. Which makes me think that there's plenty of room for continued markdown on the BTC relative pairs as the USD lags if Bitcoin goes for it in a big way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, why?
I think that would, people would be really, really bummed about that too, to see their, you know, the thing to remember about an altcoin that's gone down 90% is that it can go down another 90%.
Yeah. And if it doesn't have staking, even though staking is bogus, like, if it doesn't,
that's what people are buying for.
That's what people are buying. If it doesn't have staking, it's not going to have like listing announcements like, no, you can stake this coin. Yeah. So LTC, you know, even EOS, it has the second highest USD staked value among all staking coins. It just looks like garbo to me. It's just so bad.
Yeah. Well, EOS is one of those ones where I just don't buy anything about it. Like, I have no understanding of what EOS is good for. Look at that chart. Good gracious.
Yeah.
That is death incarnate.
It's real bad.
That is so bad.
You know, the fact that it broke its like 8 to 10 month consolidation zone.
Yeah. What's that time, that last time it did it off the top where it, back in late 2018, you see that it had, it's a shorter consolidation, but it broke the bottom just like it looks now. And then it,
oh, here.
Yeah. So then it did a spike capitulation down. So something like that would indicate there's more pain to go maybe, but it's then, you know, then that's the bottom. Like, so it's just, it's hideous. It's ugly. But then if you can survive whatever's left of it, then there's some severe upside. Crypto Don Alt was talking about this recently where he thinks that we're hitting some severe altcoin capitulation and he's getting bullish on altcoins. I really don't like fading Crypto Don Alt. He's chirped me with his little duck beak more than once when we were on different sides of the trade.
Okay. So, like,
I mean, he's not saying he's super bullish right now, but yeah. he's starting to be interested in positions, I guess, is the point.
Okay. I don't have anything to add to that.
Just a perspective to consider.
I hear you. I hear you. We see you. Rep was another coin that was up today.
20, Rep. 20, I forgot that one existed.
25% did an article on Rep this week. It's got its version 2 coming in June. So if Rep is ever going to do anything, it's going to be sometime.
If you told me Rep was on version 3 right now, I would have had no other idea otherwise, because Rep's on version 0 as far as I'm concerned, because I don't hear of anyone using it. And there's plenty of betting going on in the world right now.
Yeah, no, nobody is using it right now. The on-chain stats confirm that. Nobody's using it. But I'm a holder. I'm a bag holder of Rep. Maybe that's why.
You're a bag. Oh, it was one of your 10 in your in your little fund.
Been holding it since December 9th, was it? I think so, yeah.
All right, Josh, this is your one-minute warning.
Okay.
You need to think about what you've got coming up.
Oh, man.
In the meantime, I want to say thanks to the people who checked out the stream today. And for people listening to the podcast, we are trying to live stream these so that they go up on YouTube. And if you want, you can follow, you know, the charts that we're talking about, which we've always talked about, but we've never given you a visual way to see them. We want to give you that opportunity to go check out a chart. Even if you're listening to the podcast and then you say, you know what, they talked about this one, I want to see what they were talking about, you can hop back and look at the YouTube video. So we want to enable you to do that, encourage you to do that. Been working on our setup so that we can present the charts while we chat. We're going to also start trying to stream to multiple locations. So we're on YouTube right now, and thanks for those of you who are with us at the moment. But we're going to try to send these to wherever you are. I don't know, Twitch and Twitter and YouTube and all that crap. And then in the post, if you go to ledgersass.com, we'll start putting the video alongside the audio. So keep that in mind with the podcast. And I'm also putting new videos on my YouTube channel as well. And let's see, right now there's one that I did the other day that is about trading psychology and trade management. So there's a tease of it. If I don't know if anybody heard that, but I turned the volume on the video. So yeah, that's just no charts on that. It's just me, and hope you'll check it out. Josh, what you got going on?
So this week, I'm doing Dash, BAT, potentially ADA, definitely BTC, potentially BNB, potentially Raven, which I haven't written about yet. They just had...
My buddy Adam told me that Raven has had a hard fork kicking ASICs off.
Yeah, so be interesting to take a look at that.
Nice. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody coming to hang out with us today. And you know what? We will catch you real soon. Go to letterstatus.com to subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Monuments crumble in the blink of an eye. The easy river has just run dry. In a house of cards, I feel the breeze wound so tight.